All right, so today we're going to talk about how we're going to use System Center 2012 components to automate our data center and the operations coming up that we normally perform during our day-to-day operations. In this, we're going to see what all operations do we have in data center in general data center. And we're going to see how the individual system center components bring automation to the tasks that you perform. So the agenda really is about automation and System Center 2012 components. In between, we're going to talk about different operations that we do in a data center and how the individual components like Virtual Machine Manager, Operations Manager, Orchestrator, and Service Manager bring automation to the table. In the end, we're going to see the key benefits of the obvious key benefits of automation in the data center, and then a Q&A session. So in the next 75 minutes, we're going to have a couple of demos, but initially we're going to run through what's in our presentation, in starting with the normal operations that we perform in a data center, in a general data center. We can't be specific, but the general operations, and then introducing individual components which would bring and the automation that they would bring along. So, in order to help us understand the individual component, can anybody please tell me that who all have attended PCI Immersion Cloud pre-conference? No one else? Oh, you also. That's good. Okay, so most of you have not attended, it appears, but these are the two characters we got it from PCI pre-conference. And these characters, we have invited them from Mars or some other planet. And there was a need that they want to automate the data center, and that's why we have these two characters. One, the Emily is representing as an application owner or a business user. On the other hand, Jeff, who has to deal with his infrastructure as a data center administrator. So these two characters are going to help us understand what are their operations, what are their views about each other and how they work, and how they want to, how we get. We're going to use the System Center 2012 to help them come out of the situations they have. So first, looking at the Emily, she thinks that she is heavily dependent on IT, and sometimes it takes IT for to get things done. It is very obvious when she interacts with IT, it becomes difficult to manage things because every time she interacts with IT, they take forever to get things done. And as a result, IT slows her down. So in a traditional data center, businesses often feel that they themselves are held hostages by IT, and whatever they use IT for, it's just not there. Whether it's they want to take a backup, they want to ensure their applications are running, and even if their backups are happening, they are not effective. And whenever they request IT to restore backup, sometimes it happens or it takes time, and as a result, we have high cost of operations. On the other hand, if we look at the Jeff's perspective, he thinks that his infrastructure is too complex, and all applications that are installed are on different servers, all the businesses have their own set of infrastructure or hardware, and as a result, there is a server sprawl. And the common statement, IT budget is less. Even if the budget is in millions, it's always less. You would often find this statement, IT budget is less. Maybe it would be less, or maybe it would, we are not using or it effectively. So this is Jeff's perspective, and due to his traditional data center, he uses multiple tools and manual processes, which results in long requests, and he has to go through different departments to get things done. So as a result, high cost of operations, therefore he thinks that budget is less. Let's have a look at Jeff's problem and what he wants to do. He wants to avoid delays and avoid human errors. On the other hand, he also wanted to manage complex IT infrastructure, managing everything from infrastructure to apps. He wanted to decrease the management cost involved in dealing with different departments. But the problem is that he wanted to do everything, but the budget is less. So he wanted to do a lot of things with less amount of money. So if you want to do more with less, he needs automation. So before we look at his problem, we need to know what are the how the operations happen in a data center, in a traditional data center. Then we would try to identify where are things wrong. And I would ask you guys to tell where the things are different, or where their perspective between the application owner and the data center administrators are conflicting. So in a traditional data center, on one hand, we have business, and on the other hand, IT. A request is initiated by the users, and based on request, Jeff provisions the infrastructure and services. And once he provisions the services, it's important for him to manage them as well. But due to these requests from different departments and different application owners, he has to manage the infrastructure separately. As a result, we have silos of resources, and he has to use the deployment and different registration tools, even though complex and costlier. He has to manage all those tools. Moreover, they have to do ongoing maintenance of those deployed resources or provisioned infrastructure. Along with that, just because we have different departments entertaining or providing different infrastructure to individual departments, sometimes for tests we need separate infrastructure, for production we need different infrastructure, for non-production we use different infrastructure. As a result, we have over-provisioning and over-subscription. As a result, we have an increased cost. So what do you think in this traditional data center operations where the problem is? Emily is a problem. Yeah, Jeff thinks for Jeff, Emily is a problem. But for Emily, Jeff is a problem. So if you look at the situation and the operations in between, there is a way that we deliver, or the Jeff is delivering services to Emily is a problem. Or maybe the processes which are there in a traditional data center is a problem. So the way we deliver IT is a kind of problem here in this situation. So let's have a look at how and System Center 2012 products can fit in to interact with each other or integrate with each other to solve this problem. Now, when we talk about System Center 2012, in keynotes, you might have heard, this slide is common when we talk about integration between System Center 2012 components. And it actually tells us how we deliver IT services. IT as a service, most of you might be aware of it, and whenever the System Center 2012 components come into picture, we talk about IT as a service. We also have a service model defined by them. So when we integrate these System Center 2012 components, they give us a way, they give us a service model, the model with which we deliver services. So Jeff is going to use this model to deliver services in his environment. But let's see how System Center 2012 components are tied together. So Emily wants a simple self-service experience, which enables her to specify her application requirements. And those application requirements could be a three-tier .NET 99.95% SLA, and some reporting capabilities, reporting that too on the key metrics that she wants to ensure that the application is running 99.95%. Jeff will need to set off process automation capabilities into his data center with which he can break down requests coming from Emily or any user in his environment to individual change requests, because change request is common in all the businesses. And Jeff would also need a set of provisioning tools that will actually configure and deploy the infrastructures and application layers. So this would help the underlying data center resources to be provisioned by Jeff in different kind of environments. It could be physical, it could be your virtual, it could be your public, or it could be your private environment. So once the applications are deployed, it would be immediately need to be discovered and monitored and operated as well. So now, if we look at the System Center part, the complete picture is going to be divided into three different categories. One is your application management, which is actually configuring and deploying the business part, the business processes. And on the other hand, if you look at your right side, the infrastructure management, which is about configuring and deploying your infrastructure. So in between, we have service delivery and automation, which sets an automation piece for the type of processes which we require, with the type of standardization that we require in interaction between the infrastructure part and the business processes. So let's have a look at the VMM. The VMM has its inbuilt capabilities and brings a first level automation to the desk. First level of automation it has a feature of deploying a bare metal servers to a fully fledged Hyper-V enabled clustered servers. It has no need of manual interaction is required. Once you configure your VMM with WDS resources, and you just need to plug in your Hyper-V enabled bare metal servers. Once you plug them in, it could be automatically managed from your VMM. We would see what else would be required. The other is dynamic optimization and infrastructure. VMM also provides load balancing of hosts and that all the hosts that supports live migration. And the third one is creating consistency through a service template, which defines the configuration of a service. Jeff wants that if a particular request consists of multiple VMs, they should be deployed as a single entity instead of a separate entity, so that he can manage, he can monitor, he can operate them individually. So provisioning infrastructure with Virtual Machine Manager, Jeff wants a quickly provisioned bare metal servers for specific workloads and applications, and he often need to define storage and network along with it. And within VM, you can define you can discover storages and define within them. The good part about VMM is that you might have storages from different vendors, but it provides you a single interface to manage different types of storages without interacting with different UIs. Because all those vendors, they have their own UIs to manage their storage. But within VMM, once you discover those storage, you would be able to use them within a single environment. You need not to learn different UIs for different vendors. Because this VMM uses SMI-S provider, which is a standard defined for storage discovery and manage storages. And most of the data centers comprises of the mix of physical servers and virtual servers. VMM supports deployment and configuration of virtual servers and Hyper-V. Additionally, VMM can support the provisioning of VMs on VMware vSphere and Citrix Zen servers as well. So VMM also supports provisioning of bare metal to Hyper-V servers. First, storage is discovered and provisioned for use with VM deployment. Next, a network resource are defined using logical networks. At this point of time, once these two components are discovered, VMM communicates with the bare metal via BMC, baseboard management controller, that we often use in our data center operations, which can be used to force the machine to boot and begin the installation of operating system using WDS. So once the OS is installed, VMM then uses the Hyper-V create cluster capabilities to join the newly provisioned bare metal machines to the cluster. So once the machine is provisioned and attached to the cluster, he could further update these clusters through VMM automatically. He needs not to, updating a cluster is another clumsy task, but we could use different scripting methods to automate them. But still, if you have to update Hyper-V cluster or any clustered machines, you have VMM does it for you automatically by moving the machines from one host to another and updating them with WSUS server in your environment. The other is, so once these Hyper-V cluster has been created, it starts using storage and network. So as VMM notices the workloads, and if it passes the threshold, VMM will automatically adjust the VM distribution to better handle the current load. This load will change on many factors based on time of the day that you specify and also the parameters that you specify. We would have a look at these configurations once we'll have a demo as well on it. But here, this level of automation, moving the machines, identifying a particular host under constraint for some load that you have defined in your parameters, it would automatically move the machines from one host to another host. So VMM has this built-in feature of dynamic optimization. Now, earlier, we used to have this performed using Pro, performance resource optimization using with integration with Operations Manager. But now, the dynamic optimization and power optimization has been a part of VMM. So it is self-sufficient and has capabilities of moving virtual machines from one host to another based upon the workloads or the clusters parameters that we define under constraint. So once we configure dynamic optimization, we could set whether how often we want to move the VMs from one cluster or one host in a cluster to another host in a cluster. You can define the aggressiveness of that movement. More aggressive the settings that you choose, more balanced would be your network. And at most, the 10 minutes is the time, minimum 10 minutes would be the most aggressive specifications, or you would say you can set at least. Below this, you have to check your environment, as in whether it would be able to support movement of VMs within 10 minutes, and then bring it back to your configurations in the production. The third level of automation, VMM, the third feature which provides the automation is your service templates. So service templates is another feature that Jeff wants to have in his environment, because if he has a request which defines that three different machines with a three-tier architecture, with web tier, SQL, and application tier installed, in that case, you're going to have a standard service templates defined in your could be defined in your infrastructure. Obviously, this requires a little bit of initial configuration and testing involved, but once done, you could use this service templates as a way to deploy it as a single entity, all those machines to the environment. So web tier, application tier, and data tier defined in a service template. It could be any other level of applications that you could define. So you could also define the scale out and health policies for individual tiers. If you have IIS or application servers or Microsoft SQL Server or any other database that you want to define at the application level, that could be a part of your service template. So once you define these, you have to define the hardware profile for this, because you have to apply this complete service template as a whole to a machine. So an individual machine in a VMM, when managed or deployed, has a hardware profile, your OS profile, and your application profile. So you can use these MS deploy packages. You can, while deploying SQL, you can have DACPack packages, which you could use. Similarly, for application servers, you have a hardware profile, an OS profile, and you have an application profile. And that application profile would include your application virtualization packages as well. The good thing about VMM is that it has an inbuilt capability for managing your server AppV packages. So the AppV has been integrated within the VMM. On the other hand, the last piece, which includes the data tier, it has a hardware profile, an OS profile, along with the SQL profile as well. So when we look at the demos, it would also define, it will give you an option where you could define the SQL profile of your environment, how you want to deploy the SQL for your. So as a whole, these services are managed and deployed as an entity. So in future, if you want to make changes, they are changed as an entity. There are no duplicates for these kind of for these services. Now, this is about the standard services where in VMM we could get, the Jeff would get the capability of provisioning VMs, provisioning physical servers, and bringing it into the cluster, and using dynamic optimizations. Jeff need not to sit and monitor things. The VMs would move along automatically, and he would use standard services, standard templates to deploy and provide services to its application owners. That's fine. But what about the monitoring and other stuff? Because it's just not the provisioning that he needs to take care about. It also has to take care about the monitoring of the environment. There we introduce operations manager. So operations manager job is to monitor infrastructure. We all know about it. But apart from monitoring your physical servers, your storage, your network, your physical servers, it also has to, it also provides you end-to-end services monitoring, which means that you can have a better overview of what is deployed in your environment apart from just monitoring your individual components in the in your infrastructure. With Operations Manager 2012, you can have an application monitoring as well. Earlier, we used to deliver this using AviCode, but now AviCode is built into your Operations Manager 2012, which gives you an insight into your application monitoring. The other resources Jeff would use Ops Manager 2012 is to investigate and integrate with VMM, because now we know what the VMM is. Ops Manager can integrate with VMM to provide the additional automation. Now, one would ask me why VMM also has dynamic optimization, but earlier, we used to integrate VMM with OS just to provide the dynamic optimizations, but now, still we have an integration. What is the additional thing that we are getting? So the pro tip that I talked about earlier is still there, but it provides you the complete infrastructure VMM connectivity with its components or infrastructure level components, like what all hardware devices it is connected to, VMM, what all resources it is managing. It gives you that view. And also, it provides the integration of the maintenance mode. Maintenance mode is, we could put a particular machine in a maintenance mode through VMM as well. So if a particular administrator puts a machine in a maintenance mode in VMM, it would automatically be in a maintenance mode in Operations Manager too. So these are the capabilities that Operations Manager 2012 would provide. So in a monitoring infrastructure, Jeff has a variety of operating systems like Windows, Linux, and Unix servers and their workloads, and he want to monitor those kinds of workloads along with your physical servers, your network devices, and virtual servers, and the different platforms as well. It's just not monitors Microsoft platform, it also monitors your VMware and Citrix. So that would mean we would require other type of management packs which could help us bring that information feed into your Ops Manager console, and they are there. So this monitoring infrastructure picture that you see, it not only provides you the computer information that it is monitoring, it also gives you the network level details, the network devices it is connected to, the physical hardware that it is connected to, and the storage it is connected to. So now, as the network monitoring is also a part of Operations Manager, you could define your what all network devices which are a part of your particular applications that would be visible in your monitoring infrastructure as well. So along with server, client services, and application monitoring, you have network monitoring in picture as well. So instead of monitoring each server, it is possible to look into underlying network resources, network topologies that connect all those servers, and in-depth application monitoring too. So Operations Manager 2012 has its feature of providing an SLA. SLA is another important thing that Jeff has to take care about. That is, so in order to provide and ensure SLAs, a predictable application performance needs to be there. That means every time that application fails, that he should know where the problem is. He should know where to, whom to contact or where to direct that particular thing. So recently deployed applications are discovered through the integrations of VMM and Ops Manager or the management packs that we deploy. So once you discover an application, the related health and threshold parameters can be confirmed to monitor and application components. So if a particular application, monitored application, has an issue, so that requires some tuning. In order to, it would give you a application deeper level root cause identification capability, which would help us, Jeff, to find out what exactly the issue is and direct to the right team. Now, Jeff can send back these kind of details about the failing code to the application developers to remediate the code. Operations Manager has a connector with the Visual Studio as well, so the developer can directly use the Visual Studio and connect and update the applications on the fly. So that remediation, once the remediation has been done, Jeff would go back to its ensure whatever the SLA that he has committed to his application owner, he would go back to his application owner to provide the reports related to the failing applications and the availability of the applications. Third component is our orchestrator, which actually provides the automation apart from touching the different components. Till now, we have talked about VMM and the features involved in it and the automation they bring it. Secondly, we talked about the operation manager and the automation that it could bring in. Within Orchestrator 2012, we automate our routine data center tasks. This is the component in System Center 2012 which would touch the different aspects or the tools that we use in our day-to-day operations. So if you use an Active Directory, it has an integration packs which it uses to perform a particular action. And we would see in our demo as well how these integration packs can be connected with each other to perform day-to-day tasks. We use SharePoint, we use Active Directory, we use Exchange, we use System Center 2012 components. Now, we have an integration pack for all these components, but what about anything which is non-Microsoft? We have an integration packs for non-Microsoft products too, so that we could automate. And you would also see that, well, once we use this orchestrator to automate our day-to-day tasks, which touches the different tools and applications that you use in your normal operations, we have an integration pack for them. And if we don't have, we could use or develop a new one because it has an integration packs as well, which could help you create a new integration tasks. So if in order to automate routine activities, so we use a data center administrator or any processes generally have system commands. We can run system commands in a particular order. Instead of, though we could do it in a batch file as well, but this also provides a capability. Perform schedule-based activities, monitor processes or system-level alerts, managing file interactions such as copying and moving files, which is a common operations in a day-to-day data center activities, and send email notifications. So these kind of, it's just a small list of activities which are defined here, but administrators could go beyond this and use integration packs available with Orchestrator to integrate interaction between the different components. So if we don't have any integration pack or task defined for the kind of activity that you do or Jeff does in his data center, he could always use PowerShell or .NET scripting or third-party APIs, because on the left of your screen, if you see, there we could specify our .NET screen or run program or SSH commands that we could use to create a task. The other component that we have is a Service Manager 2012. In a Service Manager 2012, it provides us the automation of our business processes involved in our businesses. So IT service management, government, if we have any governance or risk or compliance management kind of tasks, we could use Service Manager. And if we follow any ITIL or MOF processes, it provides us a capabilities to use those tasks defined in the Service Manager. And self-service request and automation, which is the important piece that we have for interacting with the different components of System Center. Remember that this System Center 2012 gets integrated with this self-service request automation, which Emily wants a simple self-service experience. We could give users who interact with IT, we could give them a simple portal to for interactions. And those kind of things could be requesting for a VM or requesting for any kind of resource. So if we look at setting up a self-service provisioning part, Jeff would create a different service offerings in his request offerings, which would define a different set of parameters or different set of requirements from which are often requested in the data center. So if a particular request has different type of VMs or different type of applications, he could put it in a request offering. If a different set of user asked for different kind of VMs or applications or different type of services they request from IT, he could put it in a single request offering. So request offerings is a kind of way that he can publish his services on the self-service portal. So by publishing all these request offerings on a portal, he could just allow users to use these service request offerings through these service offerings. So whatever the request offerings that he publishes, that would form a service catalog, and those catalog would be used by the end users. Now, once he publishes that, he is empowering users to or application owners to manage their environment. Because it provides their application self-service requests with controls, because he can define what all activities they could perform within the environment and what all activities he doesn't want. He could control that particular access through VMM or through operations manager or through service managers. So in order to control these accesses, he could define different user roles in VMM or define different roles within operations manager, because there's a role-based access feature which is used across the System Center 2012 products. So this would also eliminate a lot of things out of Jeff's domain. Jeff would only need to worry about his infrastructure and the availability of those VMs. He need not to worry about the actions which are performed by the application owner in its domain, because earlier, if we are not leveraging Jeff keeping the control with a lot of rights within the VMs that he provides to an application owner, he is actually restricting an application owner to do stuff which they won't want it to. So with self-services, he's more concerned about the infrastructure and about the ensuring the SLAs that he needs to deliver to get that application run. So let's have a look at the demo part. Now, we would see, initially, we identified that a particular machine, Emily wants a self-service experience. She wants to have, she needs not to worry about the underlying hardware that Jeff has to arrange or those kind of things. Now, I'm going to give you a demo, and we would see how the things work at the background and the configuration that we have done within Orchestrator, within VMM, and once we introduce the service manager, what all configurations we have done in the service manager too. So, how many of you have service manager in your environments, or they have some ticketing? That's good. Okay, so most of you don't have, quite a few number, those who have service manager. So this is exactly the situation here as well, wherein I don't have a service manager installed in my environment. How should I deliver this thing to my component? Because you often find in the general environments, wherever I go, I see that customers have VMM, they have operations manager, they generally don't have service manager. They might have some other ticketing tool. But here, what I'm trying to demonstrate is, Jeff is some developer he has talked to and created a small site with a couple of tables, which is a simple site where he could allow users to use it for their access and request services. So this would just give a request for VMs, because generally the users interact with Jeff, they need VMs of specific configurations under his under their different projects. So as a user, I open this VM. This is a simple self-service experience Jeff has provided to me. I go to new request, and I want to specify project VMs. I have to get the VMs for my particular project. So the locations could be, I could define different locations. This has actually been used is in a production environment, but we are moving it with to the Service Manager 2012 as portal, as to a Service Manager 2012 portal. So for example, he specifies in location, and we could define a project that he wanted to use. Say TechEd 2012. And he has a manager's approved alias and a provisioning date and end date defined and the type of VMs that he could select. So these are the different VMs which are available as a template within SCVMM. So I would show you these VMs within VMM and through a .NET code or PowerShell code, you can bring those VMs and enumerate here. So for, say, I take this first one, and the OSs, the different type of OSs that are used within his environment could be used for selection. So there is a cost attached to that as well. So the different operating system or different type of VM configuration would have different cost. On the right-hand side, you would see those kind of configurations. And as far as applications are concerned, whether they want a SQL Server in their environment or Office 2012 or Visio, you must be wondering that what about other applications that we normally use in our environment? So if we have an unattended installation, we could easily provision and we could use that through our orchestrator workflows, or we could define within our VMM. So say, for example, I want a Microsoft SQL Server 2008 R2 installed and configured. I select that. And if I wanted to add one more machine, I could say, OK, I want this with 8 gig with the 2008 R2 Enterprise and just an Office installed with some comments that I want an SLA. This is for web app. Location one, SLA requirement 99, whatever. And it submits a request. So once this request is submitted, though this request is going back to the .NET table, the SQL tables, which are attached to this particular site, but there's a level of automation that we could use in the form of orchestrator, which could monitor those tables. Whenever these requests are submitted, it could monitor those particular tables where this request is going to verify. Okay, if a new request has come up, I need to kick off this task. So let's have a look at the orchestrator. Let me bring in orchestrator here. Login. So these are the different runbooks that are defined or working as per whatever my requirement is. So you see, those who are not aware of Orchestrator, you could see that it's a kind of runbook which defines the flow of data from start to end. And on the right-hand side, you have different integration packs for your different products. For System Center 2012 Operations Manager, you could see different different tasks that you could include in your runbooks, like creating an alert or getting an alert or getting a monitor or updating an alert. Similarly, we have integration pack for Service Manager, Virtual Machine Manager, So it's just not Microsoft products which provides integration. Microsoft also provides integration packs for BMC and other third-party products. But there is a list that has been published in the on Microsoft TechNet site where for which the integration packs are available. You could use those integration packs to create runbooks. And as you can see, it's very easy to create these runbooks. And you could, I created these by, you could simply see the face of the runbook and identify what kind of operations it's going to perform. And we have Active Directory IP. We have an Exchange integration pack as well. We have a SharePoint integration pack as well. So you could download those integration packs and create a self-service experience. You see that right now I used a .NET code to provide a portal to my users. If I have a SharePoint integration pack, I could just create a simple library and ask user to fill in the form and enter the details and click submit. Because most of you guys already have SharePoint installed in your environment. It's just I have to create a monitor and which would check in a particular list that you have defined for that that form and create VMs or create a different type of tasks within this. So a self-service, you need not to deploy a service manager or write any .NET code for that, because it's just you have to create one application, one list in your environment and give access to the user. So all depends upon how you want to, what all things that you have and what all things that you want to manage, how you want to manage in your environment. So let's have a look. So this has started. If we look at the log activity, it gives you the log activity, whether the things has started or not. Getting the request ID. So till the time this is running, what this workflow or runbook is doing, that it is monitoring a particular SQL table. If I open this, it's going to monitor based on the time that we define, and it would try to get the request ID that has been created when I submitted a request. If I open this, this is a SQL query which is getting the request details, whether a new request has been created or not. So as you can see, it's very easy to write these queries that you normally work with and create a runbook. Now, getting a request ID, once the request ID has been, new request ID has been created, you update the status in database based on the request, and then you call a particular function. So these kind of things provides getting the VM details and assigning a host is actually calling get VM details. So if you look at the log, you could easily find out whether the thing, whether the particular runbook has run or not and has initiated a particular activity or not. So it seems that this activity has started. And you could check where is it, where this task has reached. So individual tasks would appear in this particular type of logs. So individual tasks that you see here, whenever they run, they would appear here in front of your in this runbook details with success or error. If there is any error, it would come here. And along with that, as the data flows from one object to another object, you could easily double click and verify the type of data and also the values assigned to each individual parameter in that particular object during that activity. So if you have two VMs, request for two VMs or three VMs or four VMs created, this runbook is going to run for all the VMs individually. So separate instances will be created for all of them. So let's have a look. Let's refresh. So till the time this request is getting processed, it appears now. If we look at the log activity, okay, it's just a normal request. Okay, so till the time this runbook is getting executed or waiting for this runbook to continue its execution. In the meanwhile, I would give you, I would show you the information which is continuing on your VMM server. So if we look at the VMM server, we have defined different kind of templates in the VMM with their different profiles. You can see we could define a particular VMM profile with your SQL Server profile, where you could define your SQL Server behavior to install it. You could define your different hardware profiles that you could use within your service template. You could define your host profiles. Host profiles are new in VMM, which could be defined for deploying on your bare metal servers. So once you define your bare host profiles for a particular type of machines or models, you could define those host profiles here. Along with that, you have an option to deploy multiple VMs as a part of one entity. As you can see that we have a couple of templates defined as which can be attached as a part of your service offering, the request offering that you could publish integrating with your service manager. In VMM, in VMMs and services, you could have different host groups defined. If you have already used VMM 2008, the host groups could be defined for different locations that you want to assign. So in our requirement, it was different locations. So hence, we have defined different host groups for different locations. Similarly, you could attach, if you are using a cloud model, you could create different clouds for individual hosts. So if I go to Fabrics, we could define our Pixie servers for bare metal installations. As Pixie servers require, or bare metal installation requires BMC, baseboard management controller, and additional configuration before we attach a physical server in our environment. The moment you bring your physical server, you have to configure your BMC in your BMC settings in your BIOS, and you attach it to your network, configure your DNS entries, and define the IP address within your BMC settings. You attach it, and then it's ready to discover and used by VMM, and VMM would just use Pixie servers, or WDS server in this case, to deploy operating system on them. Remember, a WDS, if you already have a WDS server in your environment, that could be used. That could be used as well. Similarly, updating clusters that we talked about, you could define WSUS servers in your update cluster. The moment you define update clusters, WSUS server, you could patch those cluster without, you know, worrying about shutting down one of the hosts and moving the machines from one host to another host. All would be orchestrated automatically for them. So let's have a look if we have, in the meanwhile, triggered. Okay, that's good. Okay, you see that host is assigned. Once host is assigned, 3.6, host assignment is done. So what these different runbooks are doing, they are actually getting the host rating to which particular host. If you have multiple hosts defined in that particular location, you could use PowerShell scripts to get the host rating and deploy the newly provisioned request to that particular host. And if there is an approval process in place, that approval process would go and send a notification to that particular user. Now, it seems that I should have approval request has been initiated. I should have approval. So in this case, I am the one who's the approver as well. So for request ID, I see that the two VMs that I've asked for, it's pending for approval. So those orchestrator runbooks are still waiting for this approval to happen. Now, no need for any interaction. The mail would come to my mailbox, or whosoever is the owner who has to approve. He just needs to review the settings or the request, and he can go back and approve the requests. So I'll go into individual machines and type in my comments. Approved, and click approve. Similarly, I go here. Okay, so once you approve all the tasks which are involved within a particular request, that's been gone. Let's review the activity which is happening within our orchestrator. So within an orchestrator, the moment you approve, there is a monitor task which is keep checking the value of the status, whether it's been approved or not. The moment it gets approved, it starts the provisioning of a VM. So in this case, we have requested for the provisioning VMs. The tasks should come up and start provisioning of the VMs in itself. So you see that here, it appears that this is a very complex runbook, but it is actually not. The face of it has become complex because of different checks and balances that we need to put in place. As we create a small program for our day-to-day use or whatever, whenever we develop a program. But with the time, the moment as you get requests for different kind of, if you have to put different checks and balances, you put those commands, and similarly, we have added those tasks to address the situations coming out of those.
Okay, so this has started, you can see. And if I look at the history, so here it would give you the details. This is an old activity. But here, this says that this initialization data has started. So this particular request has been started based on the entry within based on the approval. So it is keep checking if the request is the first time we are requesting. If we are installing a DC, then a different type of activities that needs to be performed. We need to get the information about the RAM and VM, the type of RAM or VMs that needs to be created. Based on that, it creates an XML unattended file for those kind of requests and attach that. And those unattended files are used to process and create the VMs. So this is going to take a little bit of time because it's a huge workflow. But the idea is that you could define these kind of workflows. This is about creating VMs and having a process in place. So the question is not about VMs. The question is about the day-to-day operations that you perform, which touches different tools and resources in your processes. You could easily automate and define within your orchestrator. Because as many times that you perform and those tasks and have human involved, 99% they might do those tasks in a correct way. But there is a slight chance that they might get wrong as well. But with this VMM, once we define this process and test over time, and they are there, you could use it and standardize things. Okay, so this is about where I don't have Service Manager 2012 and other kind of system center products, but just VMM. But in case I deploy a Service Manager 2012, and in the meanwhile, as this is going on, I would go and create, give you a, display you a VM which has a service manager on it. So this is, I was talking about the request offerings and the service offerings that Jeff can define. This is the view web page or the simple self-service experience that any user wants. Now, this is built on a SharePoint. So when you deploy a service manager on your in your infrastructure, and you install the web part of it, the self-service part of it, it gets deployed on a SharePoint. So you could easily customize based on your requirements. But this is the default one. This is one of the offering that is there, and it has multiple requests defined in it. So this also has a virtual machine request, and there, these request offerings are there within in the background. So we go to request form, or a user goes to request form and define his requests. So service request could be TechEd. NA. Now, here, we haven't done any coding. It's all out of the box. Similarly, we could define the projects, let's say 001. The capacity that you could you wanted to attach with it to a particular project, that this project is allocated this amount of capacity, which consists of your CPU and RAM and storage that you want to define. enter the name of the VMs, how you want it to. I would just bring this on my screen so that I can go down and click next. There's a next button down. So once you click next, you get this screen. So all these steps that you need to follow. So idea is saying that we have now built-in portal which you could use without any hassle of doing coding and everything. You just need to use an out-of-box feature which is available. Now, Microsoft, once you go to the System Service Manager 2012, it allows you, it provides a process pack, cloud process pack. Now, in this demo, a cloud process pack has been installed, which is providing you all these kind of activities and requests already created. But you could create your own request offerings and publish them to the service manager. So if we look at the service manager part of it, where we have defined all those things, let me just open up the service manager. Okay, Service Manager Console. So you would have noticed the Service Manager Console, the cloud process pack that we that is available as an additional component, not component, the additional pack that you could download, which has pre-built way of pre-built request offerings and the similar self-service portal that we used to have in a VMM, but that has been moved to a service manager. Now, you see, in an administration part, if I go, you install a cloud service pack, it would have its own configuration items defined within your service manager. Let me go to administration. So it also guides you how to set up this particular process pack by defining what all notification channels that you wanna. So what all the VMM connector, the operations manager connector that it would interact with, because what basically it is doing is it is also getting information from your VMM and other system center products. Remember that the CMDB that service manager maintains, it has it builds up or grows that information from different system center products. So it has a connector which connects to those individual products and get the information within its CMDB. Once that gets populated, the information would start appearing in your configuration items. So let me show you the configuration items associated with. So whatever the information, that individual piece of information that we have is there in your is available in the form of configuration items. Whatever the placement tags, the service templates defined in VMM, or the web templates that that are defined in VMM. Okay, so quickly, just to give you this overview, so we are running short of time. In the meanwhile, the things are going, we would just review, complete the last piece of the presentation. So we see that the service manager and other components, the system center components, are touching the different aspects of our operations, which has a service catalog and your service desk and your CMDB, which is provided by your service manager, the configuration items, and the different type of hypervisors or storage that you have. This self-service request fulfillment is automatically been touching the different part of your processes, which has creating service requests, getting the approvals, creating the CIs in your CMDBs. Once the VMM admins assigns it, it creates the different capacities in their appropriate component. So once the requester is complete, requester is notified and the service request is closed. So with the obvious benefits of automation, of reducing cost, highly automated, effective control, self-service, and rapid provisioning, I open this forum. We could have 5 minutes or for questions if you have. Yeah. Yes. With dynamic optimization, you are basically managing the workload of between the Hyper-V cluster. So if you have a Hyper-V cluster and one particular host gets past a particular threshold, it moves the VMs from one host to another.
So when you say threshold, what is it looking at?
Yes. So these thresholds could be your VM, so your CPU, your memory, your RAM. There's a list of parameters which are defined within your within your VMM, not which you could not modify. So these are the inbuilt parameters, and these are the general parameters like CPU, RAM, disk space, and your storage, so these are the different parameters. There is a list published, and so you could not alter this of your own, but that happens automatically.
So is it fair to compare that to VMware's DRS?
Yes.
Okay, so it's something like that.
Yes. Sure.
So in my company, we deploy many what we call air gap networks, which each air gap network will be on its own, siloed off in and everything. And each of them have domain controllers, exchange servers, and application servers, and the like.
Sure.
In Microsoft's terminology, could that be deployed as a service template? Could it have all those roles?
So if you have those are deployed as a standard, you could certainly deploy them, as a part of your service templates.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it could be many different VMs.
Yes.
With the different role.
So understand, service templates is to deploy services, not the complete environment. So if you are thinking of deploying a complete environment as a part of service template, that's wrong approach. It's not that you cannot do, but that's wrong approach. Why it is wrong approach? Because if you deploy that way, you would in future have to manage them individually. Domain controller, you might have to manage independently than the other VMs. So that won't be a appropriate approach.
So what would be the right way?
So look service template as we have to deploy a particular service. For example, I take a SharePoint. If I have to deploy, give a particular environment to my developers or every time in a particular configuration, I would create a service template. And mostly that developer, if I see that developers are giving me the requirement in form of one web server front end that want and one search enabled machine and the SQL server, these three types of machines, basic installation, I would create a service template for that. But additional configuration, I would just ask those guys to use my portal, install it, that service template would deploy and give them an access. Yes. So if you have to manage environment and you have that that kind of environment request every time, that is the appropriate recommendation. Because once you have service templates which are requested every time, you have DC requested every time, you just have to create, and you can define you know, within your portal, that what domain name that you want to give it to a particular template or while deploying, and you could use Orchestrator to put that complete environment.
The self-service portal, part of that is no longer...
It's there. It's still there.
But
functionality is not extended as we extended in SCVMM 2008 R2 SP1. But now that particular functionality is moved to your service manager integrating from there. So the cloud service pack, process pack that we looked at, and the web page that we saw, that is a part of, you could register your business units and you could attach cross.
Just ignore that.
Thank you.